Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts College Football Podcast, your ticket to all things college football. Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? Join us as we talk college football from the national championship to college rivalries to bowl games to the Heisman Trophy to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. ACC, and everything in between.
What is up? Welcome into the GSMC Football Podcast. Of course, this is the College Football Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Doherty. Here brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. As today, we'll be going over some stuff from the college football world. We're going back to campus for real now here, everybody, as we are done with the draft. Draft is pretty much over. We talked about the top 25 that has come out. Now, the way too early top 25. Now the draft is done and spring football is done. Now we're going to go and do some spring football report cards. Some team, give some test of the waters with some of these teams, the top 25 teams at least, and how we're going to be talking about them after spring football and how they have shaken out now that it's over. And we have some teams with injury problems. We got teams with quarterback controversies and competitions and things to discuss. Obviously, we've talked about a lot of them in the last show when it comes to teams that likely will be waiting until the more summer camps and preseason camps that get going in the later summer and early fall to decide some of their stuff. But there are a few notes and things to discuss as we're going to go through different conferences and such as each segment goes along here. So I think in the first segment, we're going to do the SEC. Second segment, we'll do the Big Ten. And then we'll do Big Ten. I'm just kind of seeing, once we're doing top 25, obviously there's more teams than not in some of these top 25 rankings. We'll do SEC first segment, Big Ten, and probably Pac-12 in the second. Well, Big Ten in the second segment. Third segment will be Pac-12 and the ACC. And then in the fourth segment, we'll do the independents and the big and the what is that? It did I pack everybody else in together? Because there's five conferences, yeah. So we'll see how it works out. Honestly, I'm not really worried about which conference goes where, but we'll be talking about all of them, all their respective teams that are in the top 25 right now. I know everybody has at least one or two. There's an independent in there as well. Obviously, Notre Dame's independent. We'll probably lump them in with the ACC team, ACC stuff. So in the first segment, SEC schedule, obviously we have Alabama. They have been leapfrogged now to number one on these. All these different outlets have their own rankings. ESPN has rankings. AP has rankings. I mean, there's a coaches poll. When we get into that, they still release those. Obviously, it all comes down to what the College Football Playoff Committee. They don't come out with their first rankings until, after the season starts. And I think their first rankings come out like week six or seven of the college football season. So we obviously don't have those yet. But these are just basic rankings. I mean, but we're going to go by conference here. The teams do have to be in the list in order for me to talk about them. We'd run out of time. So Alabama, like we've talked about them a lot. Well, we talked about them a lot in this show, actually. Obviously, it's the hot topic now with the whole issue that Nick Saban's dealing with, the quarterback controversy. But, if we want to forget about the quarterbacks for a little bit, I mean, you don't have to figure out how to protect those guys. I mean, we talked about how Jalen Hurts didn't do too well in the spring game because he was running for his life out there. And I couldn't really get a rhythm going behind the line of scrimmage and throwing that ball down the field because he doesn't have an offensive line to figure out. I mean, it looks like their offensive – I mean, I'm seeing their offensive line is really their biggest issue coming into this season. Is that, I mean, they did lose a veteran, and their center, Bradley Bozeman, goes on to the draft. They did have to did have to deal with a bunch of sacks that were taken during that spring football game, which they call, I mean, they call it A Day down there, of course, Alabama Day, down in Tuscaloosa. But there was definitely a lot more pressures and quarterbacks pressures and sacks that Nick Saban wanted to see. So he's definitely got to work on that offensive line and get that all buttoned up before the season starts. He's got plenty of time to figure that out, I would imagine. All right, next is Georgia, as we say in the SEC down here. In Georgia, I mean, these two teams, I mean, the team we just talked about, Alabama, Georgia, facing off in that college football playoff final. We'll see if both those teams can get back there this year. I mean, they're both probably ready to, could be doing that. Justin Fields, though, he's ready to get on the field now. This is a guy who is didn't really see get his light of day last year. But with the fact that he's a quarterback, being quarterback and everything, being behind Jake Fromm, you're gonna have to deal with it, because you got a guy like Jake Fromm who started as a freshman and such. It's going to be kind of a tough deal. But you never know. Fields can be a guy who can unseat Jake Fromm as a quarterback, but he's a good enough athlete to get on the field in a different way. Probably he's a dual threat quarterback, can run, obviously can throw, is a big talent out of high school. But Jake Fromm probably is their guy. He's a guy who took them to the national championship last year, and I don't think he's going to be his job probably isn't too uncertain there coming into the season whether he's going to be getting the starting job or not. But there has been reports saying that they'll find him. They'll find ways to get Justin Fields on the field, in order to show off his talents and get him worked into that. Whether it's a running game or kind of a run pass option, you're going to kind of work him in a few packages throughout the season, throughout games in the season. So that's I'm expecting that to happen quite a bit probably. Another school, and as we continue on in the SEC here, Mississippi State, they've dropped down a little bit in the rankings, but now coming in with a new head coach. Dan Mullen is gone to Florida. They get the coach, the offensive coordinator from Penn State, to come down and be their coach. Now Nick Fitzgerald is their guy at quarterback. I mean, it looks like that they do have a guy, what's his name? Keaton Thompson, who's going to be a guy who could be that backup for there, just in case. But they need a backup plan, and Nick Fitzgerald isn't ready, because I mean, Thompson definitely just show out and showed that he's ready to go. In the bowl game, he showed it, because Fitzgerald didn't play; he was hurt. And obviously, in spring, he took a bunch of different reps and took obviously a lot of different snaps and different reps, because Fitzgerald was not 100% during the springtime. And Thompson went 12 for 44 with 316 yards passing in that spring game as the number one guy for that time. So the decisions down there for the new head coach at Mississippi State. Auburn also in that top 25 still. No, they lose their big number one running back. Obviously still got the quarterback there, who had to get, Jared Stidham had to get surgery over the offseason. Still no clear-cut running back, as Gus Malzahn's got to still make a decision coming through this offseason. But he lost Kerryon Johnson over the offseason, over to the drafts. So he's got to figure out a way to reboot. That's the thing about college, is it's a kind of a revolving door. Guys aren't there too long. And is this going to be a team that probably will have to rely on its defense a bit more this season, as he thinks that, it's been reported that Gus Malzahn does have one of the better units in the country when it comes to defense. They got guys who are returning, like Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown, have that front up in that front line of the defense to be able to get things going for the Tigers down there in Auburn. All right, is that going to actually do it? Oh, we have two more schools in the SEC to talk about as we wrap up this first segment here. Texas A&M, they're at 23. They have to get a little overhaul action, obviously, with the new coach going in there. But Jimbo Fisher coming over from Florida State to coach the Aggies, as they're going to have to figure things out with that defense, as they had some issues over the offensive line. But it looks like It looks like they definitely could get that defensive line figured out before the season starts. They were pretty good during the spring game. I mean, secondary was an issue. Secondary is a big issue. Is you got to get, I mean, these college guys, you find guys who are athletic, you find guys who can cover, but when it comes to actual technique and ball skills, finding defenses aren't, defensive coverages aren't the easiest thing. It's easy to blow coverage, especially with these, this kind of the way these offenses work out, where these simple route trees and guys are able to get through the progression, are able to get through the progressions. You'd think the defense would be a little bit more simplistic, but even in college, it can get pretty complicated, and that's why you see a lot of high scoring games out there on Saturdays when you're watching college football, because, I mean, these defenses aren't the most advanced defenses in the country. So it looks like Jimbo Fisher and his defensive coordinator, Mike Eklo, will have their first challenge. I mean, they did like what they saw on the spring, in the spring football games, though. The defensive line did have a 7 sacks in that spring game. Could be a little nudge at the offensive line. Same thing with the, something that's going on in Alabama with the fact that maybe you need to work on the offensive line as well, but your defensive line is dominating that much. All right. Down in the round of the top 25 right now is another SEC team, is South Carolina. They are down there. They have the quarterback returning. Obviously, Jake Bentley having now with a year under his belt. They have another receiver coming back in Deebo Samuel. But, I mean, it's this is not obviously your Steve Spurrier at South Carolina. This is not your South Carolina when it had was led by man, why can't I think of his name? Every time I think I have his name on my tongue, it rolls right off. Jadeveon Clowney. There we go. Mr. Clowney, who's now obviously in the Texans first pick overall, but I mean this is a different South Carolina team, but they still find themselves in the top 25 in the preseason, way too early top 25 coming out of spring. So I can't take that away from that team there as Will Muschamp tries to get that team going in the right direction, maybe crack up in the into the top 20, top 15. You never know what can happen down there in South Carolina in Columbia, but definitely have to work on as they'll. They'll get that offense going. They always have been able to be a defensive team where they can focus on that defense and keep teams from scoring. But looks like their offense is due to take a step forward this season, as they're going to have some guys returning back from their first season's playing. I mean, it's always nice to have a year under your belt, isn't it not? And have some chemistry already built up between receivers and quarterback. All right. So we're going to go over the grades now, as I kind of wanted to give the grades as we go along here. I kind of forgot to give you my little A, B, C, D kind of thing as we did those SEC teams. We can go through it really quickly here. So Alabama, I said A day. We'll give them an A-. They're still trying to figure out what they're doing with the quarterback, obviously, but they still got everything figured the way they can. Their offensive line obviously needs some work. So we'll stay A- with Alabama and Georgia. I'm going to say A, honestly. A, Georgia looks really good. They have I don't think there's a decision to be made at quarterback. Jake Fromm's their guy. But when you have a guy like Justin Fields who can be a dynamic player coming in a couple different packages of the game and showing off his skills, you always gotta like that. As we continue down through the SEC, they don't have another team until Mississippi State at 16. So Mississippi State will go B+ with them, as they're definitely going to be a deeper team this season. New coach will keep them at the B+ level. Obviously, we'll see if Nick Fitzgerald can get healthy and be ready. But if they don't, they have a Keaton Thompson to be ready for them down there at Mississippi State in Jackson, and they're in Auburn. So Auburn, honestly. Auburn losing somebody, we'll have to keep them at a B+2 as well, as they have to figure themselves out when it comes to their running backs. Jared Stidham is going to need some help this season as he's coming back from an injury and a surgery, obviously, also this season. But it looks like the Gus Malzahn's defense could be that help that he needs as well. So it looks like we'll keep them at a B+. And then at 23, Texas A&M. We'll put them in a solid B for now, as Jimbo Fisher is definitely have to figure some things out. Obviously, you got quarterback decision to make. You got some defensive secondary decisions to make. The defensive line looks pretty good. But other than that, he still got some question marks there at South Carolina. Also, we'll give them a B+, as that looks like that they're having some returners come back from on offense, and their defense has always been a strength for them. So we'll be able to give them that B+ there in Columbia, as Jake Bentley will have a receiver to have his chemistry with as they both come back for another season with the Gamecocks. All right, so that'll wrap it up for this segment. We're going to do the Big Ten next segment. We might slip in a couple other teams if we have some time, but I'll give you my grades. We'll probably give the grades as we go along this time. I'm not going to go through like I did. I got to give the grades as we go. So we'll be right back with the Big Ten in the next segment. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back in GSMC College Football, or this is the football podcast, GSMC Football Podcast, the College Football Edition. We will be having a college football podcast by itself. I'll be untethered from the football podcast in a few weeks here, but right now we're at a football podcast. This is the College Football Edition. Once the season gets going more, we'll probably branch off and be our own little podcast, but for now, we're sticking along with the football podcast. This is the College Football Edition, Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays with your host, Tom Doherty. That's me. As we get into the Big Ten, a bunch of teams in the Big Ten in this top 25 now, as there's Ohio State, as they are trying to figure themselves out with some guys that definitely took some time away, or is going to be taking some time for Urban Meyer to figure out, basically. I mean, their quarterback's gone. You got JT Barrett, goes undrafted to the Saints, gets signed by the Saints. Now they got to make a decision. They have Gerald Burrow. He might be eligible elsewhere as a transfer. They have to still figure that out. Dwayne Haskins has been a guy who's really shined. He shined in the Michigan game when JT was out. But definitely some other highlights in this team is the defensive line. Defensive line looks to be a big standout in this for this team this season as well, as they definitely have some guys to put up there, some big guys. Obviously, their defense needs to be two-parted, as it's not just about the defensive line. They have to get that secondary going, and then they get to get some help figured out. Obviously, they had Jordan Fuller back there as a safety, but they need to figure out some guy to be a guy to be next to him, help him out there in the secondary. Secondary is a big part of college football defenses. Also, has some guys as linebackers, Baron Browning, and they also have a defensive end and Chase Young, who could be guys that you could be watching a lot on ESPN this season as a highlight guys going after quarterbacks and getting some sacks down there for the Buckeyes, as they will be coming in now at number three. I mean, I'll put them in their grade. I think coming out of spring football, still got to figure out that I'll give them an A-, as they're still figuring out that quarterback. Obviously, their defense is solid. Maybe A-, B-plus range, honestly. We'll give them a solid B-plus, honestly. B-plus for the Buckeyes right now, as they still need to figure out their quarterback. They don't, like, there's been reports saying there's no clear-cut winner for that job yet. Urban Meyer will take his time throughout the preseason camps to figure that out, as well as the fact that, I mean, they need to figure some stuff out on defense. The defensive line should be fine, but the secondary will have some question marks. So B-plus for the Buckeyes there in Columbus. All right, to the next Big Ten team. That's going to be Wisconsin. They're at number 7 right now. They got a bunch of guys coming back, obviously. But it looks like that they had some injuries over the. I mean, there's some reports of injuries over the spring football time. Definitely limited their receiving core. But with Alex Hornibrook, you're going to need a lot of help on the receiving core. Alex Hornibrook isn't going to be your barn burner when it comes to the passing game. It's going to be a guy named Eric Cruikshank who is going to be helping their explosiveness on a receiver. I mean, it looks like that him and Hornibrook had a good thing going over the spring and spring football. So gotta like that, and the fact that they have some other guys coming in as well. Another tight end, a redshirt freshman, and a tight end, Jake Ferguson, coming in to give Alex Hornibrook some more weapons down the field. So it's going to be figure that out. They got some more questions, obviously, linebacker, cornerback. They got an edge rushing problem to fix. So we'll put them at a B, solid B, maybe B minus for Wisconsin coming out of spring football, as they still have some injury problems and some questions on the defenses. They're going to get that, they get themselves figured out there in Madison coming into the season. They've always kind of had that little weak schedule. They've been able to get, they got through undefeated last year, had to play the big boy in Ohio State and couldn't do much, but we'll see how they kind of fare this year. But B minus for them right now is they need to figure some stuff out. Alex Hornibrook, still not my favorite in the world, but he still gets the job done, it seems like, for the Badgers, getting some wins. All right, and now to Michigan State, not too far, number 9. They are going to be trying to have another season where, they had a terrible season 2016, come back 10-3 last year, which is nice, but it looks like that it's going to be their defense, and it's going to be their defensive line that is going to be a big guy, big help, as they have Kenny Willickis along the defensive line to complement those guys in the middle. They got a big safety who's been doing some nice work during the spring football portion of these workouts, as they've been able to get himself into that secondary rotation there with the safety exam. That's Xavier Henderson. And then, they have some power. That's the problem. They've always been a power offensive team when it comes to pro-style running backs and pro-style games. Obviously, they've had a big running back in Le'Veon Bell come out and be very good in the pros. But it looks like that they have a guy, Connor Hayward, and then a three-year starter in L.J. Scott, who we've all seen play pretty well in the Big Ten play. So Michigan State, they're probably going to put them at around a B-minus. B plus, as they still kind of figure out what they're going to be doing this season. But they're kind of an up and down team. Not really to give them an A, as they haven't really earned that kind of that A team ranking anyways. B plus for them. Michigan, they get their guy in Shea Patterson, and probably it's going to push him up to a higher grade for me in general. He's probably worth a grade point or a grade in himself. Shea Patterson getting for off Harbaugh, but it looks like the Harbaugh did really overhaul that offensive staff this offseason. Didn't like the fact that he finished 8-5 last season. And now they're going on much. They went on a couple trips this season, get this team together. And the fact that now Harbaugh seems quote unquote rejuvenated, as this new group and his new staff will be getting him a little better. So he gets former Florida head coach Jim McElwain and a veteran offensive line guy, and he gets Ed Warner in there to help the offensive line. Jim McElwain will help the receivers with his coaching prowess. Obviously, they get Shea Patterson. So Wolverines at a solid B, as they still need to figure themselves out throughout this preseason. They get Shea Patterson. That's a good name, but he just figured out he'd be eligible. He didn't really get to go through spring practice. He'll be able to pick it up during the preseason practices in Ann Arbor there. Let's throw Notre Dame in there, as they're not in the Big Ten, but they play a lot of Big Ten schools, and they're independent right now. They got Brandon Wimbush, as they still are going to get behind him this season, as he went through spring football and played pretty well. Going to be the leader for this team, this Fighting Irish team this season, as he's looking like a guy who can be the starting quarterback and be a winner for Brian Kelly and the Fighting Irish, as they look to get back in the top 10 and top 20, top 10 rankings, as they're sitting right there on the outside looking in at number 12. But it looks like they got that offensive line all figured out because, I mean, losing two guys in Mike McClinchy and Quentin Nelson isn't a big help. But they get a guy, Liam Eschenberg is going to be the new left tackle, and Tommy Kramer will be taking Quentin Nelson's spot at guard, as have a couple other guys who are going to be showing that they are good enough to play on that. I mean, Notre Dame is known for their offensive line talent, and they've had a lot of guys get into the NFL for it. So they're going to need to figure out how they're going to do that on the rotation with the offensive line, and those guys can actually play the whole season. They got some good guys in the skill positions. They needed a running back. They needed a guy, Dexter Williams, to play well. Obviously, Chase Claypool and Alize Mack, the receiver and the tight end, are guys that are going to have to show off some consistency and show that they can actually play on a daily basis and play well. So it's going to take some time, but you know what? They can figure that out. I bet they're a good football program there at Notre Dame, as they will be coming in my grade with a B+. I like Brandon Wimbush, always been a fan, and I like Brian. I mean, Brian Kelly can get those guys going, but you never know. They kind of seem to underachieve. But if they get that offensive line figured out and they start winning some games, then maybe they get up to an A. Right now, B+ for the Fighting Irish. All right, I think we're at the last team in the Big 12 and the Big 10 on this ranking. As I'm looking at my thing here, I think Penn State will round it out for the Big 10 at 13. Obviously, they have a bunch of guys come out in the draft, losing a bunch of people, not to mention Saquon Barkley. Still got Trace McSorley, though. He's definitely a capable quarterback. Kind of figure out how to surround him with some talent this season. But I wouldn't call James Franklin a slouch when it comes to doing that. He's definitely a good coach, definitely a good recruiter, and be a guy who can do that. But they got to figure that out. They got a new offensive coordinator. It does have a history with McSorley, so it's going to be able to be a nice transition as they start getting their season started. The season started already with the spring football. Duh. But we're long way off to the real season starting, but they're going to get their stuff going in the end of the summer, and we'll see how these who stands out. I mean, there's reports they got lots of guys who can be weapons, who can be standout guys. It's just which one is going to pop through. Definitely a defensive line, and definitely a weapons, as James Franklin is getting all those guys that he recruited in there and getting playing now with Penn State back in the good graces of the NCAA. Maybe not, but they have the scholarships back now. We'll see. We'll say they're going to be a solid B+ as well, A-, B+. Jason Sorley is a good quarterback. You always got to like a veteran quarterback. Those are usually worth a lot in college football and can be guys, the leaders. Maybe not. I mean, you know, Alabama wins without big quarterbacks, but look at who we had last year. We had a quarterback change that won for Alabama last year, and they had Jake Fromm for Georgia. So quarterbacks led both those teams. All right, we'll throw in, we'll go one of these teams that are not in one of the conferences that I have. They're not a major five conference. And we'll do that to finish off this segment. We'll do another one to finish off probably the next segment as well. We'll go UCF. They're at 18 right now. I've never really been high on UCF. Obviously, not really that, with the fact that they're doing all this stuff, saying that they're national champions, which is fine. If you're not going to make it an 18 playoff, you're not going to even include all five of your Power Five conferences. I don't know why you couldn't just do 18 playoff, do three at large bids, and all five of the conference champions. They're done. Yeah, it's an extra game for all these teams, but they're going to have a team like UCF saying, oh, we're the national champions. We went 13-0. Meh, stop. But, yeah, they have guys. They do return their quarterback, as Mackenzie Milton will be playing as his top players. I mean, they do lose, obviously, Shaquem Griffin, but that's pretty much it on that's the defensive side. I mean, good story there going to play with his brother in Seattle. I like that. But they got a lot of guys on running backs, as they have a deep running back depth chart for the Golden Knights there, or they call just the Knights, UCF Knights, down there in Florida, as they look like they could be ready for another run. I don't know. They're playing a pretty. They have a new coach. Obviously, Scott Frost is gone. He's going to Nebraska, but they got a new coach. But they definitely have the talent to play well in their conference with that crop of talent that they are used to. usually playing with in, what are they, in the American or the Conference America, Conference USA. They're in a smaller conference there in UCF. So definitely not up there in the fact that they're going to have to go against these tough teams. But, I mean, they're in the... They're in the American Athletic Conference. So, yeah, I mean, they are in the American. And, nothing really going on there regarding the competition level. So they could probably be up there in the 12-0 record once again for UCF. So don't be surprised that. I'll give them probably a B-, but I'm not really the biggest fan. They're up there in the rankings just because they can beat up on their own conference. Good for them. All right, we'll talk. We're going to go ACC... And Pac-12 when we come back, or ACC and Big 12 when we come back. All right.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back, GSMC Football Podcast. This is the College Football Edition, as we will be talking about the ACC and the Big 12 in this segment, as we go along here in this football podcast on the last day of the week. It's a Friday, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. I had to say it. I had to. Didn't do it on my other show. Had to do it on this show. It is May the 4th. And may the 4th be with you for those Star Wars fans out there. Okay, so ACC, obviously Clemson, number two in the country. Why do I want Trevor Lawrence to start? Kelly Bryant's a good starter. Might be in the lead, but definitely a lot of competition. Definitely a lot of competition to go. I like Trevor Lawrence. There's even other guys who are in there who could be fine for the job. I think it's a two-guy race right now. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is a freshman coming in and right out of high school and graduated early, enrolling early. So, I mean, yeah, you got to like that if you're a guy who likes eagerness and a guy who can be coming in ready. I mean, he played pretty darn well in spring football game. He threw a couple dimes over the top. So, looks the part, plays the part. So, I mean, if Kelly Bryant wants to keep his job, he's got to show out really nicely in the spring football. Come the preseason time, post summer camp, the summer camps and in the early fall camps there, down there in Clemson. So, I think Dabo Sweeney's got a decision to make, and it might not be made. It might not be made even when the season starts, because he could definitely be a guy that continues on throughout the season, but then maybe makes a change mid-season if one guy's not doing well. Lawrence will be right there on the sidelines. I don't like the whole idea of the guy looking over his shoulder, but you never know. You got to have an idea. But the rest of the starting job over Kelly Bryant. I mean, he did play better than him this spring, but Dabo Swinney's not going to be that quick. No hasty decisions from Coach Swinney, as he will let the chips fall where they fall. And we'll make his decision as he goes along in the throughout this off season here. Another ACC team as we continue through here. I think there's only a couple of them on here. Virginia Tech is 15th in the league, even in the nation with their rankings. By the way, Clemson, you get it. You're at A-minus right now. It could go up, it could go down, but you're teetering right at a 90%, 80 A-. Virginia Tech definitely got to figure out that how they're going to replace Tremaine Edmonds and Terrell Edmonds on the defensive side. Their defense definitely could use some work, but when it comes to offense, they should be taking a step forward, and they could be a team that you'll be surprised to see how their offense works out. But it looks like they're having some issues on defense as they need to get some more depth in that roster. They don't have any juniors or seniors on scholarship at the position of linebacker. So, I mean, with the fact that Tremaine Edmonds has gone, and so has Andrew, I'm going to say his last name, Matua Puraka. I don't know. His cool last name there. I'm not going to butcher it again. But yeah, they both gone to the draft for Virginia Tech as they self kind of figure themselves out. Got to be a learning curve for those guys who are going to come on board and be a linebacker for the Hokies. We'll put their grade at we'll put them at a C+. They still got to figure some, still got a bunch of question marks going on around that, around those parts. I think that's it regarding ACC teams, honestly. Miami. I forgot about Miami. They're up there. They're at number 8, actually. So we skipped over Miami. Sorry, Miami. Good, no problem there. We'll give you a better grade. I already know what I'm going to give them anyway. Malik Rozier is their quarterback, and he definitely has had some concerns when it comes to the offensive line. He was running around quite a bit this spring. Did not like the fact that he wasn't well protected, as Coach Mark Richt couldn't really judge his quarterbacks very accurately due to the fact that they were scrambling for their lives seemingly most of the spring due to the fact they weren't very well protected, and they didn't really have time to throw the ball at all. So we'll see if it's going to be an issue for the Hurricanes throughout the rest of the season, if they're going to get somebody figured out, get some guys worked out, and get in there on the left side of that offensive line, as they definitely need to get a way to protect their quarterbacks on their blind side. So Malik Rozier, who's been a dynamic player for the Hurricanes over the last year, did tail off a bit during the end of the season and the season last year, but can be a guy definitely who can get them into that top five and maybe even into a college football playoff conversation, as they were last year at the end of the year. They were. Before they kind of just pooped it out, so we'll give them we'll put them in a B+ right now. Need to figure out that offensive line, defense with a turnover chain, not really a question, but they have had to figure some stuff out when it comes to the offensive line. All right, to the Big 12 as we go along here. We got Oklahoma. Actually, I'm going to count how many teams we don't have to do. Pac-12. So we know we got one. Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4 teams in the Big 12, and probably four. I think four teams in the Pac 12 as well. Stanford, USC, Washington, and Oregon are all in this top 25. Yeah, so it's all right. We'll do. There's also some other teams. Boise State's in there too, but yeah. So we'll do the Big 12 right now, as we talk about Oklahoma and the fact that they are going to have to replace Baker Mayfield. I know Kyler Murray's out there. Kyler Murray's playing baseball right now. And the fact that, I mean, he could go pro in baseball too. He's right now, he's number 26th in the prospect rankings for the MLB draft, which happens, I think, in a month or so. So he could hear his name very soon. I mean, baseball, there's no rank, there's no limit to nothing. You could draft baseball players out of high school. You could draft them out of different countries as freshmen. I mean, it doesn't matter. Kyler Murray definitely could be seeing himself going in this baseball I mean, he'll get drafted, but whether it's a waste draft pick by a team or it's something that he actually will go for, it remains to be seen. But they did get Kyler Murray when they traded. They were able to get him over from Texas A&M, and he's a 5-star recruit from Allen High School. So if he plays gets on that field for Lincoln Riley, he could be a big star. I mean, big star, and get Oklahoma back up to where they were last year in the CFP contention. So, but definitely a guy who can use his wheels. He can throw the ball well enough, and Didn't play too well during the spring game, but we'll probably get in more with some more chemistry with his offense and his receivers on the outside. So definitely something to look forward to for Oklahoma as they sit there right now at number 5 in the nation. So you got to figure that out when you're Oklahoma and whether Colin Murray is going to be their baseball player or football player. Right now he's playing center field for the baseball team batting cleanup. So, yeah, that's some question marks for Lincoln Riley to answer. So that'll push them down to an A-. Obviously, there are other stuff that is surrounding them. They got a pretty good roster filled out there in Oklahoma. But at quarterback, you got to figure out the quarterback. It's a big deal in football. It's the most difficult, most watched position. You got to touch the ball every time when you're the quarterback. All right, I think the only other school we have, West Virginia. Don't forget them. They have Will Grier, as they have. They're definitely looking to get back in the prowess when it comes to offenses. They definitely did have an injury that broke his finger, but he did come back on stride in that spring game, as he could be that offensive guy on this. Could be the guy on this team. Obviously, the quarterback as an offensive guy, but could be the guy on this team that pushes this offense into new heights this season as they look to be a juggernaut. Will Grier, definitely got to look at also coming out to in the draft next year or in the year after. So, but they definitely got some guys who can be on the outside helping him. They got TJ Simmons coming over from a transfer from Alabama. They got Giovanni Hoskins coming over from Miami. He's a tight end to give him some time. And then also a running back who was a redshirted last year, Alex Sinkfield. He was a star of the spring game in back there in Morgantown. So they got to figure that out, how they're going to get those guys all worked in with Will Grier. I think it will figure out just fine. And West Virginia can see themselves maybe up in the top 10, well off in the top 10, especially in this with the Big 10 schedule, the Big 12 schedule they have. I would not be afraid of those defenses if West Virginia can get that offense figured out the way they want. They can go torch some of those defenses in the Big 12, as there's not very many ones. Obviously, got to figure this out. Dana Holgorsen has a little bit of a hot seat under him usually every season. So we'll see if he can figure that out. But it looks like that they will be just fine this season going against. I mean, looking at their schedule for this season, I don't see anything that's too scary here. I mean, they go play Tennessee at home. I mean, in Tennessee, that's their big non-conference game. They got Kansas at home. They got Baylor at home. They got TCU at home. Oklahoma at home. They have to go to Oklahoma State. They have to go to Texas. And they got to go to Iowa State and Texas Tech. So, I mean, those are all winnable games. And they got to go to NC State, too. A lot of those games on the road even are winnable. But to have to get that offense figured out for sure. As I'll give them their grade right now we'll give them a B plus right now. The transfers are the question marks right now for me. The offense is going to bank on the fact that Will Grier has somebody to throw it to. So we'll give them a B plus right now as we get to the end of this second segment and this third segment here. As we'll do one team. Actually, we're going to save it to the next segment. So we'll do the Big Ten. I mean, the Pac-12. Sorry, I already did the Big Ten. We'll do Pac-12. Did I forget TCU? Oh, no, I forgot TCU. So we actually have a couple more teams in the Big 12 here. Hold on, we're not done yet. I forgot TCU. TCU, Horned Frogs, they're 20th right now. They got to definitely have some firepower when they have to figure out their offensive line. If their offensive line can figure themselves out, they have to get a guy out of high school who's pretty good, Sean Robinson. But I mean, their defense isn't going to be a question as Gary Patterson will figure their defense should be just fine. But the offense should need to take a big step forward with the offensive line if they can protect those quarterbacks. We'll give them a B plus right now. And then Texas, always a good school to talk about. Gotta love Texas. Obviously, with Tom Herman now coming off his first season, not that great, but definitely looking to load up when it comes to defenses on their defensive side. They were able to get three of the four top safeties in the country. Caden Stearns and BJ Foster were really good in spring ball. Got a glimpse of what they could be on the defensive side, as they will be some ball hawks, but definitely looking like their quarterback competition is still up in the air with Sam Ellinger and Shane Bushili looking to or Bushil, depends how to pronounce that, are deadlocked right now with the Tom Herman's decision still coming in the future. So we'll still be waiting for that one. We'll give Texas a B plus as well, as they still have some question marks, but looking like they're on the up and up when it comes to their defense. All right, we got through the Pac-12, Big 12. Can't believe I forgot those two teams. I knew there was four teams for the Big 12 in this top 25. All right, next we're going to do the big bad Pac-12, which didn't really do much last year. Didn't even get a team in the CFP playoff. I mean, neither did Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma. Who did Oklahoma play? Played Georgia. Alabama played Clemson. Yeah, Big Ten didn't get a team in there either. It was ACC, SEC, and Big 12. All right. Yeah, just a little refresher there from my head. All right, Pac-12 when we come back. Wait up.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the GSMC Football Podcast, College Football Edition, on a Friday here. We're doing the Pac-12 now as we come to the end of this, just kind of reviewing the top 25 and giving you my post-spring grades for these teams in the in each conference in the top 25. We'll probably do it again. We'll go real conference by conference and do every single team in each conference. Oof. We'll probably do it each show, probably maybe split it up to a show for the SEC, show for the Pac-12, maybe split up a show for a couple other conferences that I don't know. Everybody's got, there's always teams to talk about, always stuff to talk about. All right. Number six is where Washington sits right now. And they're the highest ranked Pac-12 team right now with Jake Browning coming in. In his senior season, I mean, all eyes will be on him, all the Peckers. This is the kid I went to high school with. This is the guy I've seen and watched play since he was a freshman in high school, and been pretty much in awe of what his talent is, breaking all those records in high school as well in California. But, I mean, he looked like he was a guy who could be a high draft pick. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate, possibly his sophomore season. Went to the College Football Playoff, was winning all these games, breaking all these records. I mean, winning a bunch of games for the Huskies, and then goes to the College Football Playoff and gets absolutely shellacked by Alabama, and gets beat up and bruised and barred by Alabama, and kind of pushed him back for the whole 2017 season. Definitely took a step back. Definitely will need to find a go-to receiver. Obviously, Dante Pettis is no longer with him. He's down in Santa Clara now playing with the Niners. Definitely young at receiver, but we're able to get some guys some reps during the spring. Nobody's really popped out as the number one guy, but definitely somebody who you could find anybody, really, for Jake Browning. I mean, I know the kids he threw to in high school. He doesn't really need a big, tall, burly receiver. He can pretty much find anybody. pretty much find anybody it's open when it comes to Jake Browning, but he definitely will be back healthy, completely healthy this season as he looks to get back and be where he was his sophomore year. I think his junior year, he was just dealing with that bum shoulder the whole time, wasn't able to get the strength behind the ball he wanted to. But Washington sitting at six, they still are a talented team. Still got Miles Gaskins behind him at running back and help out. Jake, take a little pressure off of him, give him a security blanket, kind of a safety valve to throw it to out of the backfield. But got to figure that out for Chris Peterson and the Huskies if they want to get back in the top four likely to get into that CFP conversation. But you never know, as he could be Jake Browning could set the world on fire this season. He kind of did it his sophomore year. He could do it again his senior year after a regression in his junior year. So got to wait and see. But I'm going to give the Washington Huskies, I mean, probably going to give them an A- right now. Still got to like Jake. Still got to like Miles Gaskins. But losing that receiver chops them out of the A ranking. They're going to be A-, B-plus right now for the Huskies. All right. Next Pac-12 school isn't until number 14, Stanford. Their grade is going to reflect a lot on their injuries. Right now, they're probably closer to a B-, C-plus due to the fact that they have had a total injury issue during the spring season. They're definitely a mysterious team coming into the league. We'll see if they can get healthy. But, yeah, definitely issues, as they did have one healthy quarterback this spring. It was Jack Richardson, and it got himself a scholarship. I mean, they were able to get Mr. Richardson a scholarship, and he is now officially part of the team. He was a walk-on, and he was the only guy who was able to really throw the football. KJ Costello was hurt. They had another guy, his name off the top of my head, but I mean, he was hurt as well, along with KJ Costello. But definitely was something that Stanford having issues was injuries. They were barely able to host a spring game this season, as they definitely had some guys who probably aren't going to be out there on the field much this season play in that spring game due to the fact that most of their main guys were out with injuries, as looks like that they had only one full group at a time each day, where had to cut down on some meeting times and had to extend actual practices because of the lack of bodies they were able to get out there. So Stanford, if they can get healthy, they can get up in that B-plus range, maybe A-minus range if they get a quarterback, if Costello can get healthy and be the guy he can be, showed he could be last year with some of the throws he made, or maybe Jack Richardson is the guy who will take over the starting job after showing off that he's pretty darn good to Coach Shaw, but you never know. So we'll talk about that more as we go along here. I mean, he's a 6'5 quarterback, 189. You gotta like that if you're a Stanford fan. But definitely a lot of questions when it comes to the Cardinal down there in Palo Alto. All right, so they're probably a C-plus right now, dealing with those injuries. At 17, USC, still got to decide between Jack Sears and Matt Fink. They did battle out over the whole spring season. Nobody really took a step forward, according to Clay Helton. They still got JT Daniels, who is actually coming out of high school a year early to enroll and play for USC. He's going to be now reclassified as a 2018 prospect and has already been in contact with the coaches, been watching film, been working out with the coaches. So he'll be tough when it comes to this fall. I mean, he'd be a guy who could really throw a wrench in the whole plans, or maybe be the savior. If Sears and Fink can't be the guys, JT Daniels can be somebody who maybe just comes in and sets the world on fire. I mean, it wouldn't even be his freshman, technically his freshman, it would be his freshman season, but he would technically be a senior in high school. But if you're a junior in high school and you got USC already saying, hey, you know what, you don't need your senior season in high school, come play with us already. Like, whether they're afraid he's going to get hurt or something like that, I don't know. But definitely interesting to say that, to the least, that, I mean, he's they're letting this guy come in early and play for the Oregon, or play for the USC Trojans, Oregon. That's the next team. USC Trojans as a, technically a senior. I mean, he's going to get his GED. He's going to go, and now he's going to play at USC in his what should have been his senior season in high school. And we'll see if he can even beat out those guys. He's got some time to do it. He's got some time. So USC will put them at a solid B. They always have good talent around them. The question marks regarding the quarterback position is what's going to put them at the B. Obviously, losing Sam Darnold in the to the draft is can be a bit of a hurt on a college staff. But like I said before, colleges are that prep area, and their revolving door. This is what coaches kind of know what's going to happen. They got to they recruit and they do things for a reason. Obviously, bringing in a guy who just finished his junior season of football last year in 2017, will be coming now to play college football already in 2018. All right, on to Oregon. As they look to get better. Obviously, the offense beat the defense in the spring game, 41-7. But their defense should be better in 2018, apparently, according to reports and quotes by the coaches. But it looks like that their defensive coordinator is going to be back. Obviously, Jim Leavitt is back now with the Ducks. But now with Mario Cristobal as the new head coach, he'll definitely have to figure some stuff out regarding all of his question marks regarding the quarterback, how Justin Herbert's going to come out as the quarterback this season and be the guy who can either control that offense or just kind of be the manager or take the lead himself. It looks like it's going to be a lot more pistol sets and kind of running with that deep, with a quick offense is what Oregon is used to be knowing, but with a running quarterback and such, we'll put them right at a B- as they try to figure themselves out during the off season, during the spring season. They got a lot of question marks around them. All right. I think there was a couple teams on here that were not. I did Notre Dame and I did UCF. And the last one, I think, because I've only done 24 teams, is Boise State. They're at number 21 out over there. They obviously lose Leighton Vander Esch to the Cowboys, but they're still 21st in the nation right now. Coming out of spring football, they got some stuff to figure out how they're going to place Leighton Vander Esch at linebacker, whether it's going to be by committee rotation or that's how it kind of seemed like during the spring, or they're going to find a guy who really jumps out and is going to be that starter for the Broncos there in Boise. So, I mean, they got some question marks regarding the offense. They have all the rest of the 10 starters are going to be there back on defense. They only lose Vander Esch to the draft. So, I mean, the other 10 guys will still be around and still be there to mash and maul for the Boise State Broncos. All right. We'll put them as a grade. We'll put them at a B- as they still have some question marks on offense. But it looks like their defense should be just fine. But the spot for Vander Esch is definitely, the spot Vander Esch left is definitely wide open coming out of the spring and will probably be decided somewhere throughout the preseason schedule and football camps in this end of the summer. So we'll wrap it up there. That's going to be it for the Pac-12, and then obviously that Boise State went on the Pac-12, but they're one of the two schools that are not in a big major conference. Well, three schools, you want to count Notre Dame. Always got to remember that they're in they're not in a conference. They're in their own thing. They're independent school. Even though I think their basketball is in the ACC now. Some of their sports have gone into the ACC. All right, so we did go through all the schools. We went across country, back and forth through all the different conferences, finished up Pac-12, gave you my grades on each team in the top 25. Like I said, in the next few weeks, in the next few shows, we're going to probably go in depth and more into each conference's schools. We'll probably do a couple shows coming up, whether we're going to split the shows up and just do team by team for half the show and then this next conference. So I'll figure it out as we go along and do my hard research and give you guys all the cool little nuggets on each team, not just the top 25, but every team in every conference, every major conference. So we'll probably do a show for each conference, or I'll figure out how I can fit the shows together. But until then, everybody enjoy your weekend. It is a Friday here, and I will surely enjoy mine, as we will be back on Monday for another college football edition of the GSMC football podcast. So everybody enjoy your weekend, like I said, and we'll be back on Monday. So see you then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.